Hi everyone, today we are reading Titus chapter 1, verses 10 through 16. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Now, yesterday we talked about Paul's this charge, like what he asked Titus to do, right? He was asking Titus to raise up leaders, elders specifically, but like leaders with good character, right? With good reputation, right? People are holy. People have sound doctrine. He's appointing them or asking Titus to appoint them so they may lead, so that the church can be built up, so that there can be order that's brought in the churches of Crete where Titus was based. Now, this passage that we just read, it tells us more about why Paul felt it was important for him to write to Titus about raising up these leaders. Now, Paul states the situation that I'm pretty sure Titus already knows about this, but he's saying there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers. Now, if we just stop there, that's actually like not that big of a deal, right? If like we're honest, there's people exist in most churches, if not our own church, right? People who are insubordinate, they're not obedient, they don't listen, empty talkers, people just talk a lot of stuff that doesn't have much meaning, and people who deceive. Like, those kind of people exist already. But the issue here isn't the insubordination, empty talking, and deception. It's these people who are of the circumcision party who are like this. So it's not that these people are just straying on their own or living life their own way and like they're kind of like just wandering off from God. These are people who are actively opposing the work of Jesus in Crete, in these churches. And that's why Paul is very strong here saying they must be silenced. These are people, he says, they're upsetting families. Essentially, they're pulling people away from Jesus. And they're even doing so for their own gain, their own shameful gain. Now, what was the circumcision party? I'm sure many of us have heard this stuff before. It's talked about most directly in the book of Galatians, but also in other parts of the New Testament as well. But the circumcision party was telling people that in order to be saved, you had to be Jewish. You had to be circumcised. And this was wrong, of course, because as we learned in again, other places in the New Testament, we're not saved by our good works, but we're saved by grace. What Jesus has done is enough. And now, when you just add on the idea of circumcision, it doesn't really sound that bad. And that's where, like, verse 16 is kind of, like, touching on that, right? They profess to know God. Right? These are people who say they know God. They're striving, like, they're telling people they want to follow God, but they're denying him by how they're living. By promoting circumcision, it's like, it doesn't feel like maybe that big of a deal, because it's just like, you just got to do this one extra step. But we see the results from this, and this is what Paul's kind of getting at. He talks about the Cretans themselves and how this kind of teaching is bad for them. And he's quoting one of their own prophets who says that Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. And what he's kind of essentially getting at here is that he doesn't want, of course, the Cretans to follow the circumcision party, this wrong teaching, this false doctrine. He doesn't want them to fall from the truth, because it seems that they, based on their own culture maybe, they were prone to those sort of things. Now, again, just a slightly wrong doctrine here of like adding on circumcision, it doesn't seem that bad, but that's where we have to understand then. It's people who are promoting this that are the insubordinate, empty talkers, deceivers, shameful gain, impure. How is that possible? We have to understand that. We have to understand the ramifications of this theology that they were promoting. by saying you had to get baptized, but you have to do it by saying you have to do a good work to be saved, it means that when you do that good work, it gives you an assurance that is kind of wrong. Right? We can have assurance of faith, of course, but to say like it's the scales kind of thing. I've done this really great good work, so it gives me freedom to do some other not so great work, as long as it doesn't outweigh the good of that good work. You see, the circumcision part, they weren't just like deluded a little bit by this wrong teaching, but it was leading them astray and leading others astray, because by doing that one good work, right, by aligning yourself to this party, to this idea of circumcision, means that you had freedom to do detestable, disobedient things. If I could tell you, like, oh, if you just do this one thing, God will love you no matter what you do after this, that means you might be prone to do absolutely anything you want to do after this and feel like there are no ramifications at all. And that is not what the gospel leads us to. What the gospel leads us to is to a life with Jesus, to a life of holiness, to a life where it's so good because we are with our Creator, with the lover of our souls. Anything else apart from that, where it's like you have to earn something, you have to do something, it leads us astray. And in this case, it was leading people to live in terrible ways, in debauchery, in sin. That's like he says, detestable, disobedient, shameful kind of ways. So for us then, what does that mean? It means that we need to cling to Jesus. We do need to watch our doctrine, our theology. That's a big theme of Titus. But mostly, we have to be careful to follow Jesus, to not follow a doctrine per se, not follow like these words on a page, but to follow Jesus, the person, our God, and be in relationship with Him. And if we do that, it brings us to a place of purity, and it makes us fit for any good work. And we can be people who can help transform this world as the kind of people that Paul wanted Titus to raise up. So let's pray. Let's pray for our hearts. Let's pray for our minds. Let's pray for good doctrine, good theology, but most of all, clinging and holding on to Jesus. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you have done in our lives. And we pray that we will have good doctrine. We will understand all the more how great you are and how great your love is for us, God. I pray that we will free ourselves of bad theology and bad teaching, false teaching that's all around us even today. And may we cling to the truth, not in a pedagogical way, but cling to it relationally, knowing your presence and your love, God. We thank you, Jesus. We love you in your name.